Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, students. Welcome to our Tuesday evening lesson summary review. Tonight, we're going over our associate's degree course, Who Jesus Is, and we're on session number 7 this week, which is talking about Jesus, the healer and baptizer. So I pray that you will be ready and prepared to go through this lesson with us as we review the material that we're going to be covering tonight. And this session will help the students to understand that they can trust Jesus for healing and for baptizing in the Holy Spirit. So prayerfully, you've already reviewed some of your lesson material, and these are two very relevant subject areas for us, and I pray that you will be blessed and excited as you get this information, that it will bring more depth of understanding to your studies. Now, one of the things, as we always do, students, we never take on upon any endeavor of God without first seeking God's face. We want to pray for guidance as we prepare to teach and as we prepare to learn this lesson. And we're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for every student and every staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary around the world who are studying these courses along with us. And also, one of the things that we want to stress, as we always do, is that it's important for us to maintain an effective personal devotion life. And this will not only make your studies richer, but it also make those of you who are teaching the courses, it will make your ministry more effective, and it will help our spirits and not just our mind, because we realize that as we pray, as we read the Bible, as we study, as we memorize scriptures, we want to be sure that we do all the necessary preparation on our part to allow God to get the glory out of whatever we endeavor to do for him. So let's take a look at some of the introduction that your study guide talked about for this week's lesson. And I like to comment that the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils, and then, of course, the breath of life made man a living being. We see this as we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Now, what this shows us is that God knows us totally. He knows us intimately and perfectly. And because he knows us in these ways, he is able to fix anything that goes wrong physically, emotionally, or spiritually with us. He can also empower us by his Spirit to live as we should. And if we were to make note of or read Psalm 103 verses 1 through 14, you see where that describes the works of God, especially his work concerning man. We know, as we think about Jesus as the healer and baptizer, that he forgives all of our sins and he heals all our diseases, according to that verse of scripture. We also know that he has compassion on those who fear him, and he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. These are all some of the things that our lesson pointed us to as we studied this session number 7, which is Jesus the Healer and Baptizer. And this is session 7 of the course, Who Jesus Is. Now, one of the main headings, or the first heading, major heading of our study tonight is dealing with Jesus, the Divine Physician. And our first objective asks us to identify reasons why Jesus can heal people today. Yes, Jesus not only healed people in the Bible, our lesson pointed us to, but he heals people today. And so the first subtopic says that Jesus is a healer of body and soul, right there at that point about our lesson that you studied. We need to realize that there are different reasons for sickness that are outlined in Scripture. A lot of times it was thought that sin was always the cause of sickness, but we realize this is not the case as we make a look at John chapter 9, verse 2. And furthermore, we can understand that sickness can be unto death in some cases, in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, or it could be for God's glory, as Jesus mentioned in John chapter 11, verse 4. Now, let's take a look at a few examples that our lesson pointed us to. One example of physical healing, we can think about the story of the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. And if you were to look at John chapter 5, you can see in verses 2 through 14, that's John chapter 5, verses 2 to 14. And here again, we'll understand as we look at this section of our lesson that sin was the apparent cause of his physical problem. If you see John chapter 5, verse 14. But I want you to note in our lesson brought to our attention that Jesus spoke the word of healing to this particular paralytic by saying, "Get up, take your mat, and walk." So whether a situation or sickness is caused by sin or for the glory of God, we see in this case that Jesus is a healer of our body and soul. Now, our lesson guide also pointed us to another example of healing from the demon-possessed man. We look at the story of the man of Gadara that is found in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 36. And as you review that portion of Scripture, students, I want you to note the subjection of the demon to Christ. You see in James chapter 4, verse 7, it states that the devil will flee when we resist him and submit to God. And the word for flee that is used in this particular portion of Scripture refers to run in terror. This is what Satan does when we resist him and submit to God. So, realizing this, Satan is afraid of the believer because of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And also, we make note as we look at that scripture from, again, Luke 8, verses 26 through 36, we note the result of being set free from the demons that are found in verses 35 and 36 of Luke chapter 8. And so, it's very important that we understand that no matter what type of sickness, illness, disease, even in this case, demon possession, not only can we be sick in our body, but we can be sick in our mind. Jesus can heal even that. Now, that's one of the ways, first ways that our lesson and our study guide, if you went through your study guide, students, you've seen that heading about Jesus, the Divine Physician. And so that section dealt with, in our first objective, that he is the healer of body and soul. Here's a second thing that speaks about Jesus being the divine physician. Not only does he heal our body and soul, but he heals us for the continuation of his work. Here's another portion of scripture I want you to make note of. Make note of John chapter 14, verses 9 through 14. And if you've already reviewed that portion of scripture, I want to ask you this question. What does God expect from us as believers? What does God expect from us as believers? Well, the answer that your study guide pointed you to and that I want to bring to your mind today is that he expects us to be the extended hands of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we are to be his hands and his feet. We have to touch those that he desires to be touched. We are to go where he desires to go. See, we're just a instrument or a vessel that carries his spirit in us. And so he keeps us alive, he heals, he sustains, he protects us for the continuation of his work. I also want to refer you to, make note of this, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 through 18, and also make note of Mark chapter 16, verse 20. These particular portions of scripture stress that we must not tempt the Lord. A person should not handle poisonous serpents or drink poison just to prove that God would spare our lives, as this scripture says. Now, of course, we know there are some fundamental believers who take scripture literally. And, of course, if you've been studying along with us, we know that some language in the scriptures are simply symbolic or hyperbole. But what the scripture wants us to understand is that if you happen to be affected by some poisonous substance in your body, or you happen to be struck by a poisonous serpent, that he will spare your life. So the scripture means that if we are poisoned or bitten and receive some type of poison into our bodies as we serve the Lord, he will deliver us from the harm and the danger of it. We see an example when Paul was shipwrecked on an island and a serpent bit him as he reached in for firewood, and it was one of the most venomous poisonous snakes, and he shook it off into the fire, and the people was expecting him to die in a quick manner, but they amazed. They thought he was a god because he seemed to suffer no effect of the poisonous snake bite. So this is another example of Jesus being the healer and the baptizer for the continuation of his work. And the same thing is true for us today. We thank God that he preserves our life. Now, we have several visual aids through this particular lesson, and if you're studying independently by distance education online or by mail, you can contact us and get a copy of these visual aids. If you're studying in the classroom, of course, your instructor will provide you with a copy of that. But this first visual aid talks about ways healing occurs in the New Testament. And so we're going to briefly review the various ways that are listed on this visual aid, and as you listen to me talk about this, perhaps what this list suggests is that there is no set formula for healing. We need to keep in mind that Jesus the healer is creative in all of his acts of healing. And so a reference that we're going to take a look at is, I want you to make note of, is James chapter 5, verse 15. James chapter 5, verse 15. And you're going to read about a prayer of faith mentioned in that portion of scripture. And I want to ask you this question. What do you think the prayer of faith that is mentioned in John 5:15 is? Well, if we look at James chapter 1, verse 6, it gives us some of the answer. We see James chapter 1, verse 6 says that when we ask or pray, we must believe and not doubt. So a prayer of faith shows trust in God and commitment to him. It asks God for something in the name of Jesus. You can see an example of that in John chapter 14, verse 14. This is why oftentimes we pray, or people may pray in the name of Jesus by his power and authority. And that means that it is in accordance with all that Jesus is, with all the power and authority that he possesses. The aim of praying this way, saints, is to carry forward the work of Jesus. So he brings healing, protection from sickness, disease of body and soul. So we should be very grateful for that. Let's take a look. Let me give you some of the outlines from this particular visual aid. If you have a blank sheet of paper, you can write some of these things down if you would like. So again, it deals with the ways healing, some of the ways healing occurs in the New Testament. You can make note of John chapter 5, verse 8, where Jesus commanded a man to do something that was previously impossible. And that is when he says, take up your mat and walk to the paralytic. We can see another example in James chapter 5, verse 15, which we just alluded to, which is called the prayer of faith. James 5:15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. So this is what this particular lesson is about, Jesus the healer and baptizer, and we're seeing examples of this all throughout Scripture. It's another example can be found in the book of Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 12, where God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that he had touched were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured and evil spirits were cast out. Another way we see healing occurring in the New Testament is with the anointing of oil. You see an example of this in James chapter 5, verse 14, where he says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. A fifth way we see healing occurring in the New Testament was in John chapter 9, verse 6, when Jesus spit and used mud on a blind man's eyes. It says, having said this, Jesus spit on the ground and made some mud and with his saliva and put it on the man's eyes, and we see healing occurred. We're talking about Jesus, the healer of body and soul. So these are dealing with mostly physical illnesses, but we see Jesus dealt with people who had lunatic spirits, who were demon-possessed. Here's a sixth way we see healing occurring in the New Testament as we think about Jesus the healer, is through the laying on of hands. The example you can make note of is Mark chapter 16, verse 18, where it says, they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Hallelujah. And one of the final examples we're going to look at in this lesson review tonight is Acts chapter 5, verse 15, where it reads this. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. And all who came under his shadow were healed. So these seven portions of Scripture show us some of the ways that healing occurs in the New Testament. And we're studying session number 7 of our course, Who Jesus Is. This session deals with Jesus, the healer, and the baptizer. So that's our second part about Jesus, the divine physician, was that it's for the continuation of his work, or that his work may spread even further. Every miracle is done to promote the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power and authority that he has, his rule and his reign. That's what his kingdom represents in the earth. Now, there's another portion of Scripture you can look at before we go to our second objective of this review. It is found in 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2, which to paraphrase says, beloved above all things, I pray that you will prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. So oftentimes this verse may be misread with the focus on the first half about prospering, but we also want to stress that God wants people to be in good health. He wants us to prosper spiritually, physically, as well as financially and materially. So often our spiritual well-being prospers in the midst of even poor health situations, but Jesus wants us to be made whole and complete. Sometimes people may say, with nothing missing or nothing broken. When Jesus says, I give you peace, he's saying, I make you whole. Think about the woman who had the issue of blood. He says, her faith has made her whole. Hallelujah. So that's this part of our lesson talked about Jesus, the divine physician, as we study in session 7 of the course, who Jesus is, Jesus the healer and the baptizer. So now the second part of our lesson review will talk about Jesus the baptizer. The first part dealt with Jesus the healer. We've given several scriptures. We've shown you several examples of how Jesus heals, various ways that he healed people and all different types of conditions that he healed people of. And he's a healer today through the power of the Holy Spirit, just as he was then. So now let's take a look at Jesus the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the empowerment that we need to be able to lay hands and the sick recover and to speak faith and to allow the shadow, in the case of Peter, to fall upon people and to heal them. So the second objective of our lesson review tonight, it asks us to identify what the Bible says about the coming of the Holy Spirit. We see that there was a promise of baptism in the Holy Spirit that this particular session of our lesson is going to talk about. And how many know that God is faithful to keep his promises? So here we have another visual aid for this section of our lesson, which is entitled Symbols of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at various scriptures that define functions. And so I'm going to go through this visual aid quickly for you, and then I'm going to ask you to take time to review the scripture references that I give you. But there are at least 6 symbols that were used in the scriptures to represent the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you these. You can write these down, and as you go through the scripture references, you can see what it says about it. So if you're taking notes, you can write symbols of the Holy Spirit. And the first symbol that we see in scripture is fire. Fire represents consuming, purifying, or holiness. And we can see examples of that in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, and as well as Acts chapter 2, verse 3, you'll see fire used as the symbol of the Holy Spirit. A second symbol we see in the scriptures of the Holy Spirit is wind. And wind represented regenerating power. We see an example of this in John chapter 3, verse 8. So make note of that. A third symbol we see is water. And water represents cleansing or filling. We see examples in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, as well as Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 39. A fourth symbol of the Holy Spirit we see is seal. And the scripture says they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it represents ownership. You'll find examples of this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22. All right, let's see a fifth symbol is oil. And oil represents anointing for service, or it represents being filled with God's presence, anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. It says in Old Testament text as well as Luke 4 that Jesus has been anointed, that he has received power for service. You see an example in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 through 5. Also make note of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And also look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 about oil or being anointed. And the sixth and final symbol that we're going to look at in this lesson review tonight is a dove. A dove represents a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We see at Jesus' baptism that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and rested upon Jesus, and it represents being meek, gentle, or mature. You can see examples of that in Mark chapter 1, verse 10, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, and John chapter 1, verse 32. So there we see some of the symbols of the Holy Spirit as mentioned in Scripture as we talk about Jesus being the baptizer as well as the healer. So fire, wind, water, a seal, oil, and a dove were symbols that were used in Scriptures to represent the Holy Spirit. And so if you review those Scripture references, you will see that they concern the promise of baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, today, some people may try to limit the promise to the apostles, early apostles, and the first century church. But as you take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 39, it tells us differently. It tells us that this promise is even for believers today. It says, for all who the Lord our God shall call, including those of us who are alive today. Now, I want to ask you a question here before we get to the final part of our review tonight. The question we want to think about is, what is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And there are two points that I want to stress, or our lesson stress with us. The first point that it stresses is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit empowers us to be effective witnesses for Jesus. You see the example of that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And a second point about the purpose of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit enables us to manifest the gifts of the Spirit that are talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. They also help us to intercede in spiritual prayers by allowing the Spirit to pray through us. You see an example of that in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. So these two things enables us as believers to minister more effectively to others, because it's not by power, not by might, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. And this is why it's so good to know that Jesus is not only a healer, but He is a baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And so finally, not only did Jesus promise the baptism of the Holy Spirit we read about, but we saw the fulfillment of the baptism in Scripture. So the lesson points us to the fact that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost is proof that Jesus has ascended to the Father, because He said, if I go to the Father, then I'm going to send you another Comforter. And so it fulfilled His promise of the coming Holy Spirit that is mentioned in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. So think about this question. What was the evidence that the disciples had been filled with the Holy Spirit, that they were spoken languages that they knew not of, in order that they may communicate or be effective witnesses to those of every other language group? So it's very important, saints, that we understand this, and that we, the third visual aid talks about some of the reasons for speaking in tongues. That is to communicate His message to those who may speak different messages. So we have to be empowered or enabled with a special gift of communication. And this is one of the things how the Scripture fulfills the filling of the Holy Spirit. So I ask that you go ahead and review all the list of the reasons that are listed in your study material. I want you to think about the important points about being filled with the Holy Spirit. If there's anything that stood out for you, make note of that. And reread James chapter 5, verses 14 to 15 again. And if we follow the same pattern, if we pray for people for healing, we can see the evidence of the power of God still at work in our lives today. So if you have not received this baptism, pray for the Holy Spirit to come in your life. Pray to receive it according to the pattern that is found in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. So students, thank you for allowing me to discuss this lesson with you, Jesus the Healer and Baptizer. I look forward to our next session going forward. In the meantime, God bless you and good night.